This is Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. A Mexican-American studies curriculum was approved by the state of Texas after years of contentious debate and reportedly racist textbooks. Educators, students, and other concerned citizens testified in support of the course in the days before the final vote in 2018.
But it's crazy that we know more about Europeans than we do with our own self. So I don't like the fact that in world history we know more about Europeans, Asians, and all them people. But yet when it comes to the U.S., we know less about Mexican-Americans or African-Americans than we do to our own people. We know more about others and Europeans. So if you're going to push world history, push it to where we learn the truth about everybody.
I believe allowing students like us to learn about our history and culture allows us to be aware of our past and be able to take pride in it. Something that most students today don't have the opportunity to do because they were never offered a course like this.
Ken Trevino and Ontavia Sims, two students from the Fort Worth Independent School District, testifying before the State Board of Education. The final vote by the board came September 14, 2018.
It's recommended that the State Board of Education approve for second reading and final adoption proposed new 19 TAC Chapter 113, Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills for Social Studies, Subchapter C, High School Section 113.50, Ethnic Studies, Mexican American Studies, 1 credit, with as amended, with an effective date of August 26, 2019.
July 1st. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion is adopted.
A statewide summit on Mexican American Studies, or MAS, in Texas public schools is scheduled for next week in San Antonio. This is the 4th annual summit, but the first to address an approved course. Teachers, students, administrators, and interested members of the community can learn about the efforts on establishing MAS courses in K through 12 classrooms. Joining us today on Fronteras are Jaime Villarreal, Program Director of the Comparative Mexican-American Studies Program at Our Lady of the Lake University, and Marisa Perez Diaz, who represents District 3 at the Texas State Board of Education. Perez Diaz has sat on the board for 6 years. She says it's been a long struggle to get a MAS curriculum approved by the state.
People would just look at us like we were crazy, like it was not something that needed to happen, that, you know, the idea and inside conversations I've had with some people early on was, that's what your family's there for. They can give you those stories. They can share that part of it. Like, you need to study science and math and social studies. And I'm like, well, science, math, and social studies are all a part of that history. But we had so much pushback until probably 2016. We just had individuals who, alongside a few of us board members, really knew that this was an important step in the right direction to ensuring that our students were learning a history that is Texas history, that is United States history, but that has for a very, very long time been neglected and ignored. We've now adopted an ethnic studies, Mexican American studies course. We have standards that are going to be applied beginning this school year, and that is so incredible. We're the very first state in the United States to do this. Yay to Texas. We're finally making some inroads in ethnic studies and acknowledging that we have a beautiful and diverse culture.
And Jaime, you're at Our Lady of the Lake University, and there are Mexican American studies college courses available to students, and that's usually the first time students fresh out of high school are exposed to this type of literature, history, etc. So can you tell us a little bit about your experience with the Mexican American Studies courses at Our Lady of the Lake University and whether or not you are involved in trying to have that sort of work its way down into the public schools?
Yes, of course. Actually, the movement, of course, is much older than 2014 when we started really trying to implement the course. It was born of struggle. So ethnic studies, Mexican-American studies, Chicano studies, was born out of the civil rights movement and the Chicano movement of the 1960s and 70s. So really, what we have here is like a 50-year struggle for the implementation of Mexican-American studies in Texas. And we're finally seeing some of the fruit of this work. work. And even Our Lady of the Lake University actually was one of the first universities here in Texas to begin implementing Mexican-American studies. There was a protest in the courtyard in 1971. I have pictures of that protest. So I think the unique aspect of Mexican-American studies is not only that it was born of struggle, but that it tries to maintain a link to the community instead of being here on the ivory tower, right? But actually grassroots research that has some kind of involvement with the community, and the K through 12 MAS struggle is part of that.
You mentioned kind of a word that might be a scary word. The word Chicano sometimes may put off certain people, because when you hear the word Chicano, you think perhaps not necessarily just activism, perhaps even radicalism. And that may be part of the reason why there was so much resistance to introducing Mexican-American studies, because as was the case in Arizona in 2010, when Mexican-American studies was banned from an Arizona school district, people thought it was teaching the overthrow of the government and that it was unconstitutional. And Marisa, we were having this conversation last year. It never quite got to that point in Texas, but it felt like it might have been kind of close.
So unfortunately, yeah, you're absolutely right, Norma. I think that we got to a point where we were talking about what it means to be Mexican-American versus Latinx versus Chicano versus Chicana. The beauty in an ethnic studies course is that not all Latinos or Hispanics or whatever you prefer to be called subscribe to a particular title, but Mexican-American is something that most people can relate to in one way or another. You're of Mexican descent. When we introduce this sort of critical thinking at an earlier age, you're hitting on all the core content areas. You're hitting on the math, the sciences, as I mentioned before, social studies, but in a way that's more relatable to students, in a way that they can take ownership of their own education because, hey, you know, I know that my ancestors have contributed in a way. And I think that when we pose the history in that way, it's not so scary anymore. And so it's a matter of how we approach the course and how we really approach teaching students. And I think this is more about engagement and inclusivity. And this isn't specific to Mexican-Americans, to Latinos, to Hispanics, to just people of Latino descent. This is for everybody, as I hope our other ethnic studies courses will be as we move forward.
And Mexican-American studies isn't something that's just going to be imposed on schools out of the blue, because there already have been several schools, many districts across the state that have taken it upon themselves to offer Mexican-American studies courses, literature, music, etc. And again, the students who I've spoken to, they tell me, again, I wish I had known about this growing up. This has just opened my eyes. Even students who are not of Mexican-American descent, they learn so much and they find it fascinating that there's this whole other branch of history or literature that they were never even aware of. You're in the Mexican-American Studies program there at Our Lady of the Lake University. What kind of response have you gotten from your students? Maybe they see your course. I don't know if you offer it as an elective, and maybe people think easy A, and then they end up finding their lives changed because of that particular class.
At Our Lady of the Lake University, of course, it's always a constant struggle at any university to get students enrolled in ethnic studies, not because they're not interested, but because the structure of the university doesn't allow a lot of exploration. It's very expensive. And so students have the mentality, as they should, of, you know, getting their degree and getting out and getting a job. But once I get them into the classroom, it is a transformative experience. And each class that I have them do kind of a little video about their own ethnic identity and what they want to get out of the class. And then I have them do it again at the end. So I can see that transformation occur. And many of them, after taking the course, want to get involved in community work, in activism, in social work, in serving their communities. They feel pride again for the first time in their own history and culture. They feel more confident about taking other courses and advancing in the university. And even my students now, they sometimes do have emotional breakdowns in that they have never learned this before. it's shocking to them learning about this, and they're having to come to terms with the violence that their ancestors experienced and the structural violence that we continue to experience. But now they have some tools to be able to combat that, to be able to recognize that. One of the things that my students in Texas are always shocked to learn is that Santa Ana did not invade the United States. He was actually putting down a seditious movement. It was Mexico. Texas was Mexico. And I think that's one of the things that sets Mexican Americans apart from other ethnic groups. So we often have this narrative of the immigrant nation, right? And that's a beautiful narrative, but it's actually an untrue narrative in that, yes, most of us are immigrants, but this is indigenous land. And so we have to recognize that first and sit with that reality and also move forward from there.
So there is a summit happening next week that is a statewide summit on Mexican American studies in Texas schools. And it's the fourth summit, but it's actually going to be the first in which there is an approved now Mexican American studies course. And it's happening at Our Lady of the Lake University here in San Antonio. Aime or Marisa, if either one of you want to discuss maybe what kind of different tack this particular summit might take compared to the past three that have occurred here in San Antonio.
We started a statewide summit to come together to organize, basically, and to get on board to what is happening and where we can start to, you know, intervene. And so the first summit was held at SAC, San Antonio College, and this is our fourth annual statewide summit. Every summit, there's been some kind of battle that we've been having to engage. And this is the first time that we're actually working on the implementation. Like, we have various pathways that individual schools and school districts can go through to get this course implemented right now. And the standards have been approved. We have a Mexican American history course. There's a whole curriculum ready. So people are wanting to get this done and get it implemented. So there's various pathways to implementation. And so the entire summit is going to be focused on giving people the tools they need to get this course implemented in their children's school now. And it also comes with a resolution that we have put together that community members can take to their schools, can take to their school boards, can take to their districts, and have them sign on. Right, and say we commit to providing the resources and to implementing this course within 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it's really all about spreading and furthering the courses that are now being taught and also supporting the ones that are being taught right now. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really exciting. I'll say, having been a part of this conversation from the very beginning, it's been amazing to see the evolution with each one of these summits, because I'm as right. It's kind of been a different topic of conversation at every single one of these summits, because we've sort of gone through this unfortunate evolution of, like, we're making some headway, and then it's just this huge blowback. And so to have seen that grow from, you know, into the first statewide summit where we're talking about, well, how do we combat, how do we mobilize against this anti-Latino rhetoric, this anti-immigrant rhetoric that we're seeing in a textbook that could potentially be approved at the statewide level, to now, this is going to be a very different and exciting conversation. As we spread the word about this summit, I would hope that more individuals that are interested in other ethnic studies areas come so that they can learn. You know, it's always good to learn about the best practices, the don't make my mistakes, you all can learn from us. But it's just, it's really exciting, and I'm just glad to be a part of it all.
We've been speaking with Aime Villarreal, Program Director of the Comparative Mexican American Studies Program at Our Lady of the Lake University, and Marisa Perez Diaz, who represents District 3 at the Texas State Board of Education. The fourth annual statewide summit on Mexican American Studies for Public Schools is Saturday, June 15th at Our Lady of the Lake University in San Antonio. It's open to educators, administrators, and anyone wanting to learn more about establishing Mexican American Studies courses in Texas schools. A link with more details is at tpr.org. When we come back, a Mexican-American woman took the border by storm with her voice and guitar.
She's really closer to the blues of, say, Leadbelly or Robert Johnson.
Lidia Mendoza is honored with a historical marker. Coming up next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Lidia Mendoza's unique musical career spans most of the entire course of the 20th century. She recorded her first song in a San Antonio hotel room in 1928. More than 70 years and 1,000 songs later, her legacy is as wide and deep as the Rio Grande Valley.
That's President Bill Clinton honoring La Alondra de la Frontera with the National Medal of Arts in September 1999. Lidia Mendoza, the Lark of the Border, would have turned 103 on May 31st. She was honored the day after her birthday with a historical marker at her gravesite at San Fernando Catholic Cemetery No. 2 in San Antonio. Her powerful voice and unconventionally tuned 12-string guitar struck a chord with her audience, whether she was singing in the fields or in plazas or performing on the radio. Hector Saldana is curator of the Texas Music Collection at the Whitliff Collections at Texas State University in San Marcos. He calls Mendoza a pioneer.
In truth, I think if you look at her with her 12-string guitar, she's really closer to the blues of, say, Leadbelly or Robert Johnson. I mean, she's singing about everyday life, and she's doing it on her own. And I think that in a certain way, she represented a different ideal that's going on in Mexican-American life that's not often talked about, especially with music. We tend to think of it as only festive. Her songs were heartbreaking, intense, emotional. And I always go back to something that Flaco Jimenez told me when he heard her as a little boy. He said it was like listening to the stars fall out of the sky.
Mendoza's first hit was 1934's Mal Hombre, Bad Man.
Era una chiquilla todavía cuando tú casualmente me encontraste.
As Saldana said, it's intense, emotional.
De mi honra el perfume me llevaste.
Mendoza's musical artistry was lost, though, on her grandchildren. To them, she was just grandma. Grandma who sang and sometimes had gigs.
All her birthday parties, oh my goodness, those were fun. And it was always otra canción, otra canción. Everybody just loved her. But to us, she was our mama.
We look forward to her breakfasts and dinners, and she took care of us just like any grandmother would. Her gigs that she would perform were just, grandma's performing tonight. Oh, okay, let's go see her. Then realize, wow, she really is somebody more than just grandma.
Those are two of several grandchildren who came to honor their grandma at the cemetery, Jessica Davila and Roland Hernandez. 80-year-old Beatriz Llamas is known as La Paloma del Norte. She's one of the last two surviving members of Las Tesoros de San Antonio, a quartet of San Antonio singers whose careers spanned decades. She came to the cemetery to pay respect to her mentor, Lidia Mendoza.
Always, if she goes sing, she put two beers. ¿Cómo se dice? El release.
Oh, in the suitcase.
In the suitcase. And then before she sings,
Llamas makes a swigging motion with her arms. She says it didn't matter if the beer was warm. Llamas said of her friend that she sang with emotion, love, and she made the guitar talk.
Muy, muy linda, compañera. Muy linda.
Mendoza was honored with several awards throughout her long career. Of course, there was the 1999 Medal of Arts. She's also been inducted in the Texas Women's Hall of Fame and the Tejano Music and Conjunto Music Halls of Fame. Mendoza was honored with a forever stamp in 2013. Rudy Gutierrez applied for Mendoza's historical marker in 2015. Gutierrez's late father, composer and record producer Salome Gutierrez, was friends with Mendoza for 60 years. Gutierrez says the marker honors the musical legacy of a woman who continues to pay it forward.
Before there was a Selena and a Laura Canales, she is the first superstar of Tex-Mex music, Tejano music. She paved the career for all women that came after her in music, Spanish language music.
La Alondra still sings. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Thank you.